Does your antiperspirant keep you dry all day? Dove Men Plus Care Dry Spray goes on instantly dry for a cleaner feel and offers 48 hours sweat and odor protection. Let me repeat that. 48 hours of sweat and odor protection. Use it and don't even think about it. Also, Dove Men Dry Spray contains Dove's unique one-quarter moisturizing cream that helps protect your skin. Try Dove Men Plus Care Dry Spray. Goes on dry. Clean feel all day.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
What are we doing?
Winker going over toward the dugout and both benches are empty.
60 guys coming at it and there's just four umpires.
And now the umpires have their hands full trying to separate guys.
The thing I don't understand is baseball allowing the bullpen guys to come running in.
Holy smokes, we have a melee in the on deck circle.
The Rich Eisen Show. Today's guests. ESPN senior writer Brian Windhorst. Sports media personality John Boy. Plus your phone calls, latest news, and more. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Okay, everybody. Yes, lots going on. Everybody thinks it's a sleepy time of sports year, and you may be, you know, somewhat accurate. But there is a lot going on here on this three-hour edition of the Rich Eisen Show, and I hope you are settled in wherever you're settled in, because it's going to be a blast. It's NBC Sports on Peacock. It's NBC Sports Audio, Sirius XM 85. It's this Rich Eisen Show terrestrial radio affiliate. It's the Odyssey app. It's the podcast version of the Rich Eisen Show. All 3 hours available where you can get a podcast thanks to the Cumulus Podcast Network. Hit that subscribe button just like we ask you to do on our YouTube page, youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show. 433,000. Closing in on 434, just keeps going up, which is the direction we like. And we appreciate you being here on this June day. Good to see you over there, Christopher Brockman. How are you, sir?
Hey, Rich, what's happening, man?
Well, I'm doing well. Mike Del Tufo, what are you?
I'm jogging in.
You're jogging in from the pen? Looks like he's getting his cardio going.
Very good.
TJ Jefferson, I heard the click of the lighting of the candle while I was opening. What do you have there? What are you doing?
I just want to let you guys know that it started. The Arch Manning football cards are starting to come in already. So
this guy.
We're just getting ready.
Do me a favor.
Just getting ready for young Arch.
Put a pin in that. Okay. I want to talk more about that later on.
All right,
for sure. We have the real estate.
Rich, this might be my down payment on a boat. You'll understand. I'm excited.
Mike, do you think that could turn into a down payment on a boat?
Archie Manning?
It's somebody who's, what do you think?
There's a dinghy right near my boat.
That's like the pool.
In the harbor that might be.
Oh, nice. Okay. I thought you were doing a pool and pond reference.
I'm fine with
it. You may get the yacht one day.
Okay. Rich, I'm fine with the pond. I got to be honest with you.
So today's the deadline day that incredibly talented players who are incredibly overpaid in the NBA have to say, you know what? I'm going to opt in to generationally absurd dollars.
Why are they overpaid, Rich?
Oh, please.
Come on.
Russ Westbrook for... $47 million and change.
That seems like a lot.
Uh-huh.
We can't
count. Kyrie Irving for $36 million and change.
Yeah, I wouldn't do that.
Certainly, he's a guy, I mean, he'll play if he wants. So today's that deadline, and sure enough, Russell Westbrook has made it official, and Kyrie Irving is yet to make it official, but it's going to happen because the sign and trade takers are not there for him. Not there, and his best option, if he wants to be paid $6 million, he can come here to Los Angeles, California. You can buy a very nice house for that amount of money. And it's not like he's using just that. It's not. I don't think Kyrie's living check to check.
Okay.
So you can make $6 million here. The Lakers are like, hey, why don't you come here? Just don't opt in. Come here. Sign for the $6 million contract that we can give you. And how about you hook up with all of us here? And his answer apparently is, well, I could stay where I am for $30 more million and either stay here and play with Durant or create a situation with my bosses where now they've got to pay me $36 million and change. And they have no idea if I'm going to show up for work because I don't want to take a vaccine or something's happening in the real world that's causing me to think about that and not be mentally ready to play a basketball game, which is what I'm paid all that money for. Or that's a completely unfair way to categorize Kyrie Irving, but it's everything that we've heard and heard from him and seen that happened 2 years ago and last year. Maybe the Nets will take him in and say, let's put the gang back together. Let's put the gang back together. Let's see how it goes. Let's see how it goes with Kevin Durant. happy because he's got the best team that he has in Brooklyn around him with Kyrie Irving and Ben Simmons and his bionic back, you know, that he's going to play. And he'll be the Ben Simmons that got drafted out of LSU, right? And he'll be that guy and Seth Curry and, right? Blake Griffin is still around there.
Maybe Drummond, I think.
Drummond is, you know, Drummond, and what about Joe Harris? Is he going to play basketball? What do you think?
Probably.
I don't know. Put it together, and the Nets can run it back. And unless the Nets kind of don't want to do that, I don't know. The situation appears to be handled; could be fluid. Our friend Brian Windhorst is going to try and make heads or tails out of all this stuff on this program. Meanwhile, speaking of trying to put things back together again, Humpty Dumpty, like the Nets appear to be doing right now with Kyrie Irving, even though they might not really want Kyrie back for long term, but 1 year's fine unless Kyrie's pissed about the 1 year, and we'll see how it goes. Just going to try and put that Humpty Dumpty back together. They're attempting to do that in Brooklyn, or they're now having to do that in Brooklyn because Kyrie opted in. But there's no more broken egg, to use that analogy. There's no more of a broken scenario. Quite like Baker Mayfield and the Cleveland Browns, one would say.
I mean, saying it can't be put back together again?
Baker's the one who pulled a Costanza. He's the one who said, you're breaking up with me, I'm breaking up with you first. I'm going to beat you to the punch. I'm going to send out a letter to Cleveland. Let's not forget that all happened when Deshaun Watson was being wooed by multiple teams, two in the NFC South, Atlanta and New Orleans, and the Cleveland Browns. And as a matter of fact, he sent that letter to Cleveland out. Let's just go through the timeline here. He sent that letter to Cleveland out, breaking up with the Browns, while the Browns were talking to Watson. And the day after that letter to Cleveland came out, the news came out that Deshaun told the Browns they're out. It's going to be between either Atlanta or New Orleans. And we came on this show talking about how this diehard rivalry that runs underneath the radar in the NFL, because we're so focused on Bears, Packers, and we're focused on, you know, choose it an NFC East or AFC East because we're all East Coast biased sports media members talking about those rivalries. Runs underneath the radar, Atlanta and New Orleans, how much they hate each other. It's like how Watson's going to tilt this rivalry considerably in his choice. And then he chooses the Browns anyway. But in between all that, there was a period of time where the Browns thought they were out. Mayfield had already broken up with them. And the idea was the Browns are now going to have to back channel in some way to Baker and say, can we still be friends? Because we kind of told you at the combine that we were going to do this. We told your agent at the combine that we were going to investigate it if it was possible. And we all remember that the week before, the Browns and Falcons and Saints sent everybody from owner, general manager, coach to Deshaun Watson and his owner and his management teams to say, we want you. The week before that is when there was no indictment that came out of a grand jury in the state of Texas in this case that still has four open civil lawsuits accusing Deshaun Watson of sexual misconduct. Still open right now. Well, let's not forget there was that 24-hour period where the Browns were like, maybe we can get back together. So here we are on this day, the 28th of June. Here we are on this day in which Deshaun Watson is having a hearing about his looming suspension with the independent arbiter that has been hired by the Players Association and the NFL to handle such disciplinary matters placed in front of her. Sue Robinson, everybody. She is going to be hearing from the league and the Players Association and apparently Rusty Harden, his lawyer, Watson's lawyer, about the suspension that is coming. Oh, and it's coming. On this day, Baker Mayfield apparently having a youth football camp in Oklahoma. And he was asked about a possible rapprochement. How about, let's just say, big word alert. A little kumbaya, to use a different generational phrase. He was asked, is it possible if the suspension of Watson is so significant? Let's just call it playing season. If it is so significant, would he consider actually coming back and doing it all again for the old Cleveland Browns? And his answer was no. This is according to Carrie Murdoch, who placed this quote on Twitter. He's a calls himself a Finnish. He's a publisher of At Sooner Scoop. Okay. He's quoting Mayfield as saying, no, I think for that to happen, there would have to be some reaching out. But we're ready to move on, I think, on both sides. Asked if a reconciliation could be reached if Watson had to sit out this season. Now, him saying no. And then I think that has to be reach out to me. That's an ajar door, would you not say?
Small crack.
Well, it's a crack.
Small.
This is a guy who told Cleveland, I'm out. Before the Browns said, we're in with Watson. And as a matter of fact, the day before Watson said, I'm out with you, Cleveland. Until Cleveland says, you know, how does every dollar guaranteed, how does the best contract in the history of National Football League players, how about that? How about let me, with all these lawsuits around you and no clue as to what else could possibly be out there, or if you, who we've kind of just met, are telling me the truth, and I don't know your tells just yet, how about I just cut about $180 and stick it in escrow, believing in you? How about all that? Before the Browns said that, Mayfield said he had been out. And basically told the Browns at the time where they had a 24-hour period saying that maybe we'll just go back to Baker Mayfield, pound sand. This is not a pound sand. This is they have to reach out to me first, but they haven't reached out to him yet at all, apparently. Right. They've told him don't have to even come to mandatory camps. So he's saying they've kind of moved on. I think I've moved on too. But him saying they have to reach out to me first makes me think that maybe, just maybe, there's a small part of him that thinks I'm not going to Carolina. I'm not going to Seattle either just yet. And I don't know if I want to even go to both of those places. Honestly, I feel for this guy. Maybe his head's been so damn messed with because he's sitting at home waiting for his future to be decided. But he's under contract currently to the Cleveland Browns for $18 million and change. $18 million and change. Add that to the $46 million that the Browns are paying Deshaun Watson this year. And by the way, no matter what comes out of this ruling today, or whatever comes out of the hearing today, the ruling's no doubt going to be, I'm assuming, another day than today. No matter what comes out, suspension, 8 games, 10 games, full season, or an open-ended suspension that the league has apparently whispered to other members of the NFL media world that it could be one of those deals where he's out indefinitely and he'll have to reapply for reinstatement next year. If it's any of those, any of them, I don't know if Mayfield's coming back or would even entertain coming back, or if the Browns feel that door is closed because Jacoby Brissett can run this offense. And he has played an entire year as a starter in the National Football League. He has done that. He has won some games. Is he going to win you a Super Bowl? Could he be the 21st century Jeff Hostetler? Of course. You have no idea in the NFL. That's the beauty of this league and this game. You never know. Well, that's doubtful. So as of right now, on June 28th, the day that Deshaun Watson is having a hearing about his discipline on all of these cases that still haven't been completely settled, and we still don't know what else is happening. And this has now gone to a point where Ashley Solis, the first masseuse who filed suit against Watson is now filing suit against the Houston Texans based on the New York Times reporting by Jenny Vrentis, saying that not only did the Texans security provide him with a non-disclosure agreement to hand to his masseuses, the multiple ones who he met on Instagram before they work on him, or, you know, allegedly he works on them. Here's an NDA. You might want to give this to them to sign. That came from the Texans security, apparently. And some of these massages were taking place in a club in Houston where he had a room, allegedly, reportedly arranged by the Texans. So the Texans think they're out. Deshaun Watson keeps pulling them back in. On this day, though.
On this day.
June 28th, 2022. There are two quarterbacks on the Cleveland Browns roster that the Browns owe $65 million to. And they might not play a single snap for them this year. Which may wind up being the most Cleveland Browns thing ever by the end of the day. Figuratively and maybe quite literally. So that's what's up there.
That's what's up.
That's what's up. Where Mayfield is like, no, but they have to reach out to me first. Man, if I'm him, I am hoping to go to Seattle. That's where I'm hoping to go. I'm hoping to go to Seattle. I'm hoping Pete and John Schneider are like, yeah, the Drew Lock and Geno Smith competition. Yeah, that's not what we're cut out for right here. Baker goes there, and there's DK when hopefully he's happy. And, you know, there is that running game. There's Tyler Lockett, and there's Pete always competing, meaning there's somebody that they've drafted that we have no idea how good they can be until they find out, and they usually do up there. Kenny Walker from Michigan State. See, if I'm Baker, I want to go there, where I'm kind of like mostly left alone and I could just focus on my craft for 1 year and see if I could be the guy for the future for Seattle. And Seattle winds up getting the first overall pick of the draft from 5 years ago and he gets a second act there a la Drew Brees. That might be the most rosy scenario possible. But if I'm Baker, I'm telling the Browns, thanks, but no thanks. Get me out. I want no part of that. At all. I want no part of you anymore. I want no part of that anymore. And I, you know, if he had said that, though, people would be accusing him of being a drama king. And so I think he played it by half measure. No, they'd have to reach out to me first. But it seems like we've all moved on. Now let me go teach these kids something. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. What is going on with Kyrie Irving and Russell Westbrook and so on and so forth? That's next on this show with Brian Windhorst. Also still to come, Albert Breer on everything that I just discussed with Watson and so much more. And then in hour three, John Boy joins us as Major League Baseball has suspended everyone involved in that Mariners-Angels brawl from all the way from interim Angels manager Phil Nevin, 10 games, and then 2 games all the way down to one of their interpreters. Who apparently was too well versed in body language as well. So there's that. And John Boy's breakdown of it is spectacular. He will join us in hour three. There's you at 844-204-RICH. There's TJ Jefferson's best players in the history of all four teams in the NFC East to wrap up the stirring conclusion of this 8-part series.
Yes. Stirring conclusion.
Yeah. Thank you. Stirring conclusion. That's coming up here on this very busy Tuesday. So you say there's nothing going on edition of the Rich Eisen Show. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, 844-204-RICH, number to dial. He makes us smarter every time. We just love when he comes on this program. He's a senior NBA writer for the worldwide leader in sports, the host of the Brian Windhorst and the Hoop Collective podcast on the Mercedes-Benz Vans phone line. So much to talk about with this man back here on the Rich Eisen Show is Brian Windhorst. How you doing, Brian?
I'm good, Rich. Thank you.
Let's jump right into it with Kyrie Irving. Was his decision or impending decision, reported decision to return to the Nets just his only best option, do you think, for him?
you're asking a very clean question, Rich. I don't quite understand 100% all the sides on this game. I was viewing it a certain way, and then I talked to executives in the league, and they view it a completely different way. I was viewing it as this is what the Nets wanted and that this buys them time. And, you know, they can extend with him later on. It turns down the pressure. It turns down the pressure with Durant. But I talked to a number of executives who, you know, believe that this doesn't mean it's over. That, you know, the Nets made it very clear that they didn't want the status quo and that this would be potentially the status quo. So I wish I could give you a stronger answer, but all I can say right now is I don't know. I'm just going to have to wait and watch for a little bit. You know, Kyrie also has to fill out the paperwork. It's one thing to announce you're picking up the option. And, you know, normally when somebody says they're picking up the option, the paperwork is a formality. But until the Nets formally announce that Kyrie's opted into his contract, which would be a course of business, let's just not 100% assume anything.
So let's walk through it then piece by piece. Could this be the sign part of a sign and trade, right, where he signs here?
No, what? This is all, I apologize, Rich, it's all salary cap ease.
Okay.
Once you opt into a contract, there's no sign and trade. It's not possible.
Okay.
And the other thing is that a bunch of different rules happen with a sign and trade. The NBA for specific reasons has made sign and trade difficult. So when the Nets said to Kyrie, go ahead and look for a sign and trade, they did that knowing it was very unlikely he'd be able to find one. If you want me to go into chapter and verse as to why, I'd be glad to, or you can just trust me. It's up to you.
I will trust you. Yeah. I'll take your cue.
Sign and trades they happen, obviously, so I don't want to make it sound like they're impossible, but they're complicated because there's a whole set of rules that comes along with them. When you opt into a contract, then you can be traded, but it's just a standard trade. But you obviously, the only way you can trade a free agent is a sign and trade, and Kyrie will now not be a free agent. The question is he just going to be back with the Nets and everybody's going to sing kumbaya? Because very clearly what Sean Marks, the general manager, said at the end of the season was we can't have a repeat of last year. And, you know, the idea was that there would be a contract that would have some protections for the Nets on number of games played and things like that. And with Kyrie's decision to opt in, it potentially sets up a repeat of last year.
Okay, so you're saying Kyrie's going nowhere for the upcoming season. He's in Brooklyn,
Rich,
period, end of story.
I don't know what's going to happen.
But if he can't be can he be traded? No. Or he's just...
Yes, he absolutely can be traded. Will he be traded? I don't know.
Okay. And so, Brian Windhorst here on the Rich Eisen Show. You've mentioned a couple times in this conversation that the Nets don't want status quo. And I know you also mentioned just yesterday that the Nets, quote unquote, would rather lose both stars than go through what they went through last season. Now, New York City has lifted its vaccine mandate, and I don't see that coming back anytime soon. So they won't go through technically what they went through last season on the vaccine mandate. What do you and the Nets mean by this, going through last season?
Well, I think here's the thing you have to understand. We don't really know where Kevin Durant is. And if Kyrie Irving had opted out of his contract and went and signed with the Lakers, and the Nets lost Kyrie Irving for nothing, the belief in the league, and I mean, you know, Kevin could feel one way on Monday and a different on Tuesday. So I want to be 1,000% clear here that this is all very fluid. But the belief in the league is that Durant would not be comfortable remaining with the Nets in that situation. So when the Nets were playing hardball with Kyrie and they were basically saying, we're not going to give you the maximum contract extension that you want, and Kyrie was saber-rattling that he was going to opt out of his contract, because asking for permission look for a sign and trade, Rich, meant he was going to opt out of his contract. That one has to go with the other.
Mm-hmm.
So Kyrie was saber-rattling, and the Nets were saber-rattling. And so if the Nets were risking Kyrie walking, which they 1,000,000,000% were, they knew that they were risking Durant asking for a trade. And the reason that they were playing hardball with Kyrie was because they wanted to get into an understanding or a contract that they had some protection over the way Kyrie went about the last couple of seasons. And so my point was, their strategy was, even if this costs us Durant, we are not going to bend down to fall towards Kyrie. And it wasn't just about the vaccine mandate. The entire way Kyrie has operated within the Nets for the last few years was building towards last season. So it's really more about, you know, Kyrie has openly said, I don't need a coach. I'm the general manager. Kevin and I are the general managers. It's much more than just about the vaccine mandate there.
So was the reason why there were a few takers on the sign and trade cap related or roster related, or just the league kind of knows what's at the large part of the iceberg? We're just in the basketball viewing nation outside of the insider circle seeing just the tip. Does right. Kyrie have a reputation that nobody wants a piece of him after what happened with the Celtics and what's going on with the Nets right now?
Yeah, I think the issue is if you sign and trade for a player, the contract has to be for at least 3 years. And for the same reason the Nets were worried about giving a long-term contract, any team would be worried about giving a long-term contract. And then, Rich, when you sign and trade for a player, like the Lakers, for example, the Lakers' payroll next year is, I believe right now, projected to be around $150 million. Once you sign and trade for a player, it becomes an NFL situation. You are hard capped. You absolutely cannot go above a certain number. And so if the Lakers had signed and traded for Kyrie, like just in the, let's just say for the sake of argument, the Nets had an undying love for Russell Westbrook, and they would have taken Russell Westbrook in a sign and trade. They wouldn't have, but let's just say for the sake of argument, they would have. Taking Kyrie Irving in a sign and trade would have hard capped the Lakers, and they couldn't fill out the rest of their roster. So just from a mechanical standpoint, the Lakers couldn't do a sign and trade with Kyrie unless he was willing to take a significant pay cut. And even that situation, they would have had to guarantee him a lot more money. The Lakers were much more interested in giving him a 1 year, $6 million deal, as you can imagine.
Yes.
And were more interested in now, if they trade for him now, so, you know, if something happens in the next few days or next few weeks and the Lakers all of a sudden can trade for Kyrie, they wouldn't have to guarantee more years. They wouldn't have to be hard capped. So I know that this is extremely dense, but a sign and trade was just never going to happen. And so, really, the bedrock issue is this. We wipe away all that stuff. The bedrock issue is this, is the owner of the Brooklyn Nets, Joe Tsai, willing to have his team go through another season with Kyrie Irving behaving the way he has done for the last couple of years? Or is he gonna say he wants a change? Because what Sean Marks, with Joe Tsai's blessing, said is that they wanted a change. And what Kyrie Irving said was, see you in the fall. And to me, that's a guy who is like, okay, you don't want to extend me. You don't want to help me on a sign and trade. See you in the fall. I didn't take that quote as a quote of brotherly love, but what do I know?
Brian Windhorst here on the Rich Eisen Show. So let me just ask you this then, and then we'll move on just to a couple other items just from the Nets. So Durant, they're running the risk, you said, the Nets, of having him opt out and just say, I want out. I'm asking for a trade. And this may be the most naive question I've ever asked you, Brian, in the near 8 years that you've been kind enough to keep calling into the show, and I ask, what if the Nets just, now, just hear me out. What if the Nets, if Durant says, I want to trade, what if they just say no?
Yeah.
What if they just
That'd
say
nice
no
thing.
To that?
They would say, Kevin, no. We love right. you, and you're under contract right. for 4 more years.
Right. What if they just say no? What would happen?
Yeah. That would be an interesting thing, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
We're in an era right now in the NBA where the contracts really don't matter. And I don't know what, I've watched it get more and more and more out there. I mean, Ben Simmons did the same thing a year ago. He had 4 years on his contract. Now, the difference was Simmons was coming off of a bad finish to the year. So his value was a bit more complicated. He also had a back injury, which we found out was pretty darn severe. But Ben Simmons essentially did the same thing. He said, I don't want to be here anymore. And they said, well, you got a contract. And he goes, okay, I'm not going to show up until you trade me. And it was messy, and it was expensive, and Ben Simmons got his way. And Adam Silver has mentioned this, that honoring of contracts has to matter. I mean, Kyrie Irving, I don't know if he's still on the board, but I'm fairly certain is the vice president of the players union.
Mm-hmm.
And, I was interested for a minute there whether he was going to honor his contract. So, they always say in the entertainment business, Rich, right, a contract is over when the talent says it's over. That's been the kind of the rule of the road in the NBA. And, like, it's kind of the same in the NFL, isn't it, Rich? You got a contract, you're not heckled, you just don't show up, right?
Well, I mean, in the NFL, that's the way it was for a very long time. But we're seeing now, for just the first time in the near 20 years that I've been doing the NFL Network and the NFL only thing on the cable side of matters, is Devontae Adams saying I want out, and they're like, okay, we're just now beginning to see that on occasion, rare occasions, but yeah, most of the occasions the NFL saying it's tough, you're
out.
Here.
Guys would hold out. Sometimes they would lose, I guess, but guys would hold out and not show up. They want a new contract.
Right. One or two games into the season when they're not, they don't get a paycheck. That's when they're like, okay. And that's what happened with Emmitt Smith in the 90s. I mean, it's so rare to see a guy hold out into the season. And that's why I'm just wondering, what if the Nets just tell Durant, no, you're here.
And you know what, Rich? Kevin Durant loves playing. He loves the game so much.
That's great.
The stuff off the court, he sometimes gets, sideways on, but he loves playing. Like, I covered him in Tokyo at the Olympics last year, and I asked him, I go, Kevin, you've got gold medals. You're coming off an Achilles. Why are you here? He's like, I love playing. And so to me, like what Ben Simmons did last year, which was not play, like, that's the antithesis of Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant would play every day of the year if he could. He probably pretty much does. So this is a different type of guy. I don't know if that's what he could do. But I also know he's 34 years old, and he wants to be on a championship contender. He came there to be on a championship contender. So, look, at the end of the day, this could be Kyrie Irving back. And, by the way, this is something that nobody seems to really be talking about. They got a good team. Assuming that Ben Simmons is going to be healthy, I mean, I guess I can't assume anything with him, but let's just, for the sake of this conversation, say he's going to be. He's going to be a tremendous difference maker defensively. Joe Harris, who missed all of last season, is a great shooter. He'll be back. Seth Curry, who they got in the Simmons trade, is a great shooter. They're going to have a great shooting team. They got this really promising rookie, in my opinion, who was a rookie last year named Cam Thomas, who's an explosive offensive player. They got a top 5-7 whatever player still. I still think Durant's a top 5 player. They got Kyrie, who when he plays is breathtaking. I know he doesn't play that much, but he's breathtaking when he plays. I wouldn't pick them to win the title, but they're a contender. So, like, maybe everything does get smoothed over and everything's fine by the fall, but I don't know.
All right. Brian Windhorst, a couple minutes I have left with you here on the Rich Eisen Show. Just some quick hitters, best we can. Westbrook opting back in. What does that mean? What are the next steps for the Lakers? No surprise, $47 million, you're going to opt into that all day. So what do you have? What's the Lakers' next moves, if any, now that I
Well, seen? Rich, they've only got 6 guys under contract, and a couple of them are, bench players. So I don't know what their team's going to look like. And they have to be very judicious with that $6 million thing that they now aren't going to be able to use on Kyrie. They have to hit on that. They are getting Kendrick Nunn, who missed all of last season, back. But they need AD and LeBron to be healthy. That's number one. But in all honesty, they finished, 11th last year in the Western Conference. Even if they get a lot better, they're still going to be potentially competing for a back-end playoff spot. Which is why the Kyrie thing was so tantalizing, because they really don't have any other avenues to dramatically improve the talent on their roster. They're just going to have to be better with the talent they have. With LeBron and Anthony Davis, you have a chance to win any game. I just don't know what the rest of that roster is going to look like, how they're going to look over 82. They have a new coach. We'll see what Darvin Ham brings. He could potentially change their mentality a little bit, especially defensively, because they lost their defensive edge last season. But with what I see right now, I'm not bullish on their chances this year.
And I'm always fascinated by Riley. What's he thinking? What's his plan that he's hatching right now in South Florida?
Well, they're watching the Nets thing very, very closely, because if there's any wiggle room at all there, they're keeping an eye out. Both Miami and Phoenix, in my opinion. If Durant were somehow – I want to be 1,000,000,000% clear, Rich. I don't know what's going to happen in Brooklyn, okay? I just don't know. But if some event happens where Durant does become available – I think Miami and Phoenix are two teams that have the draw that Durant would want to play on a championship contender, and have the pieces and parts that they could offer Brooklyn in trade. And so I'm sure that Pat Riley is sitting there waiting for that window. It may never open, but if it does, I'm sure they're going to try to be aggressive on that.
I've watched A Beautiful Mind. I've watched, Rain Man. I've watched all these movies where people, think differently. And, I'm trying to look at things from a completely different angle. So you help me with this one, Brian Windhorst. What the hell were the Knicks up to on draft night? What was their plan? What was it?
Their plan was to clear salary cap space, and they did that. So now we wait. They also have now, Rich, they have 8 first-round draft picks that they can trade. And something's going to happen with that. I'm waiting to see what.
Well, is it for Brunson and the Mavericks? Are they going to try and sneak him out? I mean, like, what's their plan? Who are they trying to get?
They definitely are interested in him. And, they're not going to take that many draft picks to get him if they do. I think that's a possibility they could get him, but they have to have more in their sights. Jalen Brunson is an excellent player, but he's not a star.
Brian Windhorst, thanks for the time. I know your life's going to get more hectic over the next couple weeks. Look for my call in July. Thanks again, Brian. Have a great rest of the day. That's Brian Windhorst, the one and only at Windhorst ESPN. Must follow. I follow him, as always. Makes me smarter right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Lots of food for thought right there. Let me just linger here for another minute on an idea I've been kind of percolating on, and I just brought up with Brian Windhorst. I just brought that up with Brian here. Again, the whole issue with Kyrie Irving, his best leverage over the Nets has been, and might still be, based on Brian saying he doesn't know if this thing's over just because he opted in Brooklyn. His best leverage might be, you mess with me, you could lose Durant too. Because all Kevin Durant needs to do, despite having 4 years left on his contract, is say, I want out. I demand a trade. And the entire league, as Brian just said, Miami is closely monitoring the situation, not because they want Kyrie, they want Durant. And the entire league is under the assumption that a guy who has 4 years left on his contract can create his own free agency with one single phone call. This whole opt in, opt out, all the stuff you were the contracts, those are because it's written in the contract. You can opt out. You must opt in or out. This is a contract from which a star player in the NBA can opt out at any time just by saying, make a call. I don't want to be here anymore. What if a team told that star player, no?
Too bad.
What if that happened? Because you're hearing, the commissioner and the league say, lamenting the situation as if they're powerless. But there is the contract. Hey, star player, all-world player, you're not happy here? Let's figure it out, because we brought you here to win, and, the guy that we thought would be your 1A or your 1A to his 1, it's not working out with that guy. And you see what goes on when he shows up or doesn't show up, what how it affects the entire team and affects the entire franchise. We're trying our best here. We love you. We covet you so much that we will not let you leave. Sorry. What happens then? Does an NBA franchise have the temerity to do that?
No, because you don't want to get nothing for the guy. If you have a guy who's unhappy, like...
What, will he sit out for 4 years, like end his career?
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
Is he going to end his career? Like, I'm not playing anymore.
But you want to get an asset in return for someone who's unhappy. You just don't want to let them not play, and then all of a sudden you're just burning money.
I don't know.
Despite this guy.
I don't know. Maybe if you do it like this. So you play Kevin or Rich Kleiman, friend of the program.
Great friend of the program.
Okay, go ahead. Kleiman. Go ahead. I'm Joe Tsai. I'm the owner of the Nets. Let's role play and action.
Hey Joe, Mr. Tsai, great to see you. But you know, Kevin's not happy, so we'd like out. We'd like a trade.
And here's my response. Ready? If I do it like this. Sorry, no. Are you still here?
Excuse me.
I'm sorry.
What do you mean no?
No.
By no, like, what exactly do you mean by no?
I ducked. You know, I sought cover. So you're not supposed to respond to me. Yeah. No. That's what I mean. No.
So we're
gonna... We'll see. We'll see you soon.
So here are a list of my teams that I'd like to trade.
No, sorry. Great. No. Is a team the Brooklyn Nets on there?
No, sorry. No. Portland.
Then we're in an impasse.
Miami, Boston.
How about that? Let's try that. Star player. No. NFL did that for many, many moons.
Not anymore.
Well, not for some. Tyreek Hill, one, and Devontae Adams, another. And
Sean Watson.
I know. It's going in certain... Well, I mean, there are different circumstances.
But
there.
He literally sat out a year.
844-204-RICH, number to dial here on the Rich Eisen Show. We'll take your calls and set up Albert Breer, hour two, coming up. Russ back is, here on the Rich Eisen Show.
Russ is like, look me in my face. I ain't got nowhere.
Dude, $47 million. I'm going to put it in the front seat of my car. I'm going to put the camera on me. I'm going to sing. And I'm going to tell everybody, you can't get to me. I've got $47 million. I mean, he's getting paid $47 million to play a game that he loves. And the coach that he couldn't apparently abide, that dude is gone.
Yeah.
He's gone.
He gone.
Darvin Ham's talking about sacrificing and all that business, but right now he doesn't have to sacrifice a damn thing. He's not playing defense yet. He hasn't been asked to play defense yet. Right?
He's going to watch this on a loop today.
That's it. Go check it out. Let's take a phone call here, 844-204-RICH, number two. Stravon in Washington, D.C., back here on the program. How you doing, sir?
Great to be back, Rich. How you doing, sir?
What's on your mind?
Well, I know you and Chris were talking about doing a pickleball thing against each other, right?
Yes, sir.
So I'd like to propose partners for both of you.
Ah, okay. Go for it.
So for Chris Brockman, I will choose a 7-time Super Bowl champion, a member of the NFL 100 All-Time Team, and the best promoter of Hertz this world has ever seen, and that would be Tom Brady.
Okay. All right.
For Rich,
yeah.
Though, your luck is so good so far. Michigan getting to the college football playoff, the Jets drafting so well, your Warriors beating Brockman Celtics.
Thank you.
So I figure we need someone with equal luck and equal, you know, moxie to join your team to prove that you can overcome everything with that great luck of yours.
Mm-hmm.
So your partner will be, drum roll please, from Radio City Music Hall, the man who had the Spring Spectacular canceled by pushing away the draft, one James Dolan.
Okay. All right. So it's Brockman and Brady, me versus me and James Dolan on the same team. Can I, to use a phrase, strenuously object? Can I strenuously object? Oh, you strenuously object. Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Well, okay. I strenuously object. But thank you for the idea.
Thank you, sir.
Or we can do that and have security drag James Dolan off the court as I screamed, "How do you like that? Tell me how that tastes.
What if Dolan is like sneaky good at pickleball?
There's no way. But I would beat you and Tom Brady if Brady ever dared to say, okay, I'll do it.
With who? With your partner? That
with whoever I
have?
Choose. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Dude, you have no idea. I'm going to choose somebody older than me. We're going to go on the court and kick your ass all over it. It's a fact. It's going to happen. You've never played it before.
Never,
you have no idea.
I have no
there
idea.
Are rules. You will have to understand those rules. You just that alone will put you in the
bed. Kyle Hamilton did say once you get the rules down.
Yeah, I'm sure.
By the way, did the caller say that Tom Brady was the best Hurts pitch man?
Yeah.
I heard that.
Yeah. Like Hurts car?
Yeah.
Well, he wasn't around when OJ was running through airports.
I don't think Servon was around for the...
I know we may not want to mention his name, but that guy did a lot for Hurts.
Thankfully, the end of the hour.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
Thankfully, the end of the hour.
He could run through an airport.
Seriously,
run through
airports. We are going to do this in July or early August.
This is going to happen.
Okay. We will record it. It will happen. This will be content for our social media streams.
Sure.
And you have to choose somebody. Go find somebody. You know a lot of people here in Los Angeles.
I know.
You know a lot of folks here. You can find somebody who knows how to play pickleball. Do it. Put your mind to it, Chris, because this is going to happen. You and I will be across a net in pickleball.
I'm play-by-play.
This will happen.
You're the field reporter.
Play-by-play. You can't call play-by-play pickleball.
It goes too fast.
Tennis, you're supposed to be quiet.
Literally, you can't be quiet.
Literally,
right?
When I first took the job of US Open
experience
with CBS Sports on US Open. See, he's still talking. I was told the first order of business if you were calling a tennis match is to shut up, and then the second order of business is shut up.
Yeah.
Don't say anything. Yeah, Mike, those are the two things. Shut up and read the promotional card when we tell you to read it.
Yeah, don't say Manhattan.
That's it. Be quiet during a point. Do not speak during a point. And then shut up. Let the crowd take it. Just say the score. Let McEnroe or Mary Carrillo say whatever they need to say or Pam Shriver. And then come back in and say whatever the point is. Yeah. And then shut up.
30-all.
That's literally how you call a tennis match.
60 minutes will be coming up following football. Followed by murder, she wrote.
Maybe I'll reach out to Russell Westbrook.
How would if Summerall pronounced the comma in Murder, She Wrote by being silent? Okay,
right.
How would he have called like a special with Wham?
George Michael Wham?
Yeah. Exclamation
point.
Wham!
Wham! Wham! Coming up.
Coming up tonight on CBS 60 Minutes, followed by Murder, She Wrote, and a special concert of Wham!
Yeah.
There you go.
Is that what he would do?
You got to accentuate the M.
Wham! Wham!
Rich, I'm sorry. There's a guy just standing behind you, and it's just like...
Come on!
It's
right.
He can't hear you.
Oh, he's back.
For the real story behind some of wrestling's biggest moments, it's Something to Wrestle with Bruce Pritchard and Conrad Thompson, too.
All-time Hogan opponents, Macho Man's got to be in the conversation. Where's Andre for you?
I've always said Andre was number one.
Wow.
Because even going back before, you know, Hulk Hogan was a babyface, Hulk and Andre were able to go in and headline at the New Orleans Superdome, at Shea Stadium in Japan. Wherever they went, that was an attraction.
Something to Wrestle with Bruce Pritchard. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.